Well, brethren, it's a great blessing to be invited here today to think about we're in God's presence and he's asking us to come and hear the words of our Supreme Father and Elder Brother, to not only hear their instructions, but to be taught by them and to one day teach what we're hearing. When we think about the future that God has in store for us, it's absolutely amazing. Our Father is willing to share his truth and to write his plan, his thoughts on our minds. We have the opportunity to be in the kingdom of God and to see the fulfillment of what we're being taught. So it's important to drink in of what we hear every day. It's important to study that throughout our lives, to think about what God has in store for us, because our vision of the future will determine whether we're willing and ready to endure to the end. We must consider that daily. So I ask the question, how well do we envision the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? Because the world we live in today will change greatly. Our soon coming king will transform the mess that man has made in so many areas of life, the governments, the cities, the education system, the entertainment, and you could name so much more. Everything man has built needs to be reworked. And as mankind defies their creator, we know what it leads to: war, pollution, it leads to corruption, hunger. And you see all the people out there suffering day by day, year by year. We're living in a world where our lives are connected with people who struggle with sickness and disease. I think all of us would raise our hands to the fact that we know someone very close to us who is struggling in that area. We don't have to look very far. It affects our families, our friends, our community, even our church brethren. Now, I have an example of a man in my congregation. He's completely blind. He has been for some time. I cannot imagine what that would be like. On top of that, he's hard of hearing. So before he got his hearing aid, I'd try to talk to him on the phone. I'd have to yell into the phone and then repeat it two or three times in order for him to get a little bit of it. But now he has hearing aids. On top of that, he's bedridden. So you start putting all this together and you think about there's individuals out there, included in our congregations, that have a tough time each day. So this man, he cannot drive, of course, cannot read his Bible. He cannot walk to the bathroom. Of course, he can't travel, watch television. And so for 24 hours a day, he goes through this. He's only 70 years old, and I think about how his life is very limited in so many ways. Other members deal with dementia, diabetes, stroke, heart conditions, cancer, and many other things that we hear about. But under the government of God, this earth will be transformed in numerous ways. My title today is The Promise of Healing in the Coming Kingdom. I mean, isn't that wonderful to think about what God's going to do for all of mankind? And we all yearn for mankind to have their health restored because we see so much pain and suffering around us. So today I would like to focus on the healing that God will bring about in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Only a supreme being can bring about that change. So let's consider today God's power and his wisdom to bring all that forward. Let's begin in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. And here in this section of scripture, we have a good foundation to begin with. Of course, Moses is hesitant to be the spokesman for God to the children of Israel. And so let's notice what God says to him. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?" Can you imagine having God ask you that question? It kind of stops us in our tracks, like, what am I complaining about? God's done all of this, and he has the power over every aspect of our lives, and it's easy for man to forget that there is a creator. We see that in the world quite a bit today. He's our designer, our life giver. And one day everyone will be able to give God the glory that is due to him. So not just our mouths or our eyes or ears, but our whole body belongs to God. And everything we do should honor him through that. Turn with me next to Exodus 15. We'll stay in Exodus chapter 15. Let's look at verse 26. Here the Israelites are reminded of the tremendous power of the one leading them away from Egypt. You know, out of that life of slavery, and they're looking to him. And notice what is said here in Exodus 15, verse 26. He says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Look at the amazing power that God has. The word heal is from the Hebrew word rafah, and it means to mend by stitching together. It means to cure. This is what God is willing to do. It also means to repair or to make whole. God has this intention for the world. And this is what our Lord has in mind for those who have, as it says here, given ear to what he's telling them, if they're obeying his commandments. So Jesus Christ has the power to not only bring disease upon a person, upon a nation, but also to take it away. And that time is coming. And many of the world's health problems are due to a wrong lifestyle or not trusting in the one who can heal them. Let's turn next to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3. Brethren, in the future, Jesus Christ will be ruling and his laws will be in place. And he will bring about a plan of healing as never before. And we can look forward to that. We can long for that at this time as we watch people suffering. Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting in verse 3. It says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." So God's greatness will need to be recognized in the world tomorrow. That needs to happen before changes can take place. And one of the main reasons for this feast is to learn to fear God, to have that deep respect, to have that awe and reverence for the one who gave us life. Let's drop down to verse 39, which says, "Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me." Notice what he says next. "I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand." So we can't think that we can get around this rule that God has given. He has superior authority, and until the nations recognize this, the blessing of divine healing won't take place. That time is coming. The dictionary offers several definitions for the word heal. Here's a few of them. To make free from injury or disease. To make sound or whole. To make well again. To restore to health. Think about how many people in the world long for this definition to be applied to their lives. There's so many that suffer today. And in an article published on August 31st of this year, it's written by John Efflin, and it's entitled Disease, Statistics, and Facts. He stated this, quote, "A disease is a condition which threatens a human state of health, causing problems such as pain, distress, dysfunction, social problems, and death. In fact, diseases include a large part of all causes of death around the world. According to the World Health Organization, chronic diseases are the leading cause of death worldwide. End of quote. So God has a plan to change what the statistics are today. And it's reassuring to hear the words of King David that he wrote in Psalm 103. I'll just refer to that. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities," not just some of them, but all of them, "who heals all your diseases." That time is coming. The word "all" is very hopeful when we think about a time when people around the world will have the opportunity to be healed of the broken leg or the mental disorders they have, whatever it might be that they're struggling with. We don't see this promise in full effect yet today. You know, I'm reminded of two of my uncles whose lives ended early due to accidents. My Uncle Wallace, he was up in age, but he was in good health. He worked for the Worldwide Church of God 30 years in Pasadena, and he was retired, and one night he fell out of bed and hit his head. It was that easy. He got up the next morning, complained about a headache. He just kept noticing, "Man, my head hurts." His son came over later that day. They played a game of chess. He kept mentioning his head was hurting severely, so they took him to the hospital, and later that day or the next morning, he died. It happened that quick. And so those kind of accidents have always happened throughout history. And yet we know God says he's willing to heal. Another uncle of mine, he worked for the college in Pasadena as well for 30 years or plus. He retired early at 62, and he liked to fly his little ultralight plane. But after so many years of doing that, he said, "You know what, I'm going to sell it. I've had enough of that. I'll go on to something else." So he takes it out one day to sell it to a prospective buyer, takes it off the ground, goes up, something goes wrong, and it comes crashing down. His life's over, just like that. So life can end so quickly due to accidents. They take place all the time, but until it touches our lives, we don't always think about it that much. Let's turn next to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. I'm sure many of you can think of individuals, friends, and family members that have had serious accidents, sometimes leading to death. Matthew 9, verse 27. We have numerous prayer requests for the members that go out from time to time. A lot of people struggle with health. Let's notice what Jesus stated here, Matthew 9, verse 27. "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?'" What a profound question. "They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were opened." What a momentous point in their life. I don't know how long they were blind, but to think that when your eyes are opened and you can see after years of that darkness. And Jesus performed many miracles during his earthly ministry, and each of those accounts are an excellent reminder to us of his power, of his timing. Imagine a time when all the sick will be healed, because that time is coming. Do we believe this? Just as Jesus said, do we believe that? In the past few weeks, two of the elders and their wives who planned to attend this site, they've already registered, they had their housing, they were ready to come. But they had to cancel due to health issues. I'll name their names, Ray and Norma Cowan. They both attended Jekyll Island for 60 years ago. He said, "We were excited to come. We were there in 1963. We wanted to be here again, but they weren't able to come due to health." David and Sandy Mills, he called just a few days before the feast and said, "You know, our health is going downhill. We're not going to be able to make it." But he said, "We've never missed a feast before." And so that's very discouraging for them to be able to have to stay home when you really want to go and worship God with everyone else. And so many of us have health problems. I'm guessing almost every one of us has some sort of issue, whether it's you need corrective lenses, contacts, or glasses, or you've had cataract surgery, What about hearing loss, memory loss, headaches, arthritis, diabetes, heart problems, stomach issues, gluten or lactose intolerant, cancer, and we could go on and on. And all of us at times have been affected by these. If everyone who had an injury or some type of health issue was asked to stand, I'm guessing most of us would get up, because we've all had our aches and pains over the years, and much of the world is struggling with severe pains and aches, sleepless nights, injuries, and diseases. Let's drop down to verse 32 here in Matthew 9, which says, "And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel." Can you imagine that moment? Not only for the man himself, but for the people who witnessed this. You know, if anyone around the world saw this miracle, I think they'd be speaking the same thing. We have never seen anything like this. Whether you're in Africa and you see something like that, you go, in all my history here and traveling Africa, I've never seen anything like that. You could go anywhere, you know, to Europe or to Australia and say the same thing. And so this verse also points to spiritual healing that is coming, a time when the demons won't be free to possess anyone. Many health problems in the world are directly tied to mental, emotional, and spiritual issues. Verse 35, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom," and notice this part, "and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." What a beautiful statement that is, and people long to hear that again at this time. That would have changed the lives of all those who experienced those diseases. That would have given them great relief. The dictionary states that healing can mean to relieve of disease or cure. And the word sickness that's mentioned in that verse is described as ill health, a weakened or unsound condition. Disease that is mentioned in that verse is a condition in our body that impairs normal functioning and is typically manifested by distinguishing signs and symptoms. So we've all experienced signs and symptoms of various diseases or sicknesses we've had. The evening before I traveled here to Jekyll Island, a young teenage boy in one of my congregations, he just heard some negative diagnosis on his health. You know, years ago, he had to have his entire scalp pulled back and a titanium plate put over his scalp because he had a hole in his skull. But now he has other issues, and so he's going through so much. And many of you know of situations like that. 2 months ago, we had four members in the two congregations die in a three-week period. Four members. One was of dementia, two of peritoneal cancer, another one fell. The lady who accidentally fell, she hit her head, unconscious for 2 weeks, and then passed away. These things come so quickly, but we have to look to Jesus Christ, who's telling us that there's a time coming when the healing will take place like never before. And the examples given in the Bible point to a much greater fulfillment in the future. This Feast of Tabernacles pictures a time when everything will be different. We will have a righteous ruler. We will have holy laws that man follows. The eyes of all will be open to the truth. So not just a blindness physically, but spiritually, everyone needs their eyes open to see what God has in store for us. And as we observe this festival, it reminds us of what our Savior is planning to do. And we need to long for that. We need to think about that. Because there's a tremendous amount of mental sickness in the world today. From the Mayo Clinic website, it states, "Mental illness, also called mental health disorders, refers to a wide range of mental health conditions, disorders that affect your mood, thinking, and behavior. Examples of mental illness include depression, anxiety disorders, schizophrenia, eating disorders, and addictive behaviors. They continue with, a mental health concern becomes a mental illness when ongoing signs and symptoms cause frequent stress and affect a person's ability to function. The Mayo website gave examples of some of those signs and symptoms that many in the world today experience. Let me just share a few of those that they mentioned. And some of us have gone through some of these at times. Feeling sad or down, confused thinking or reduced ability to concentrate, excessive fears or worries, or extreme feelings of guilt, extreme mood changes of highs and lows. And as I mentioned these, think about it. Jesus Christ is aware of these, and he has a plan to change all this when Christ returns and sets up his government. Significant tiredness, low energy, or problems sleeping. Detachment from reality, in other words, delusions. Paranoia or hallucinations. Inability to cope with daily problems or stress. Trouble understanding and relating to situations and to people. And I could go on with more. I think we get the idea that what God sees among the people, we are aware just like the tip of the iceberg of all these things, but he sees every little bit. And when we think about the power of Jesus Christ and the suffering that he went through, to realize that he did that for all of mankind. So when we think about what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:24, he says that by Christ's stripes, we can be healed. And we long for that. There's no sickness or injury that can't be healed by God, whether physical, mental, emotional, or even spiritual. Let's turn next to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke 4 and verse 14. Thankfully, as we look at Bible prophecy, it shows us that there is a time coming for spiritual healing, and Jesus Christ will complete that healing that he began during his ministry here on the earth. Luke 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. In the beginning part of verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. So this is interesting to think about. Jesus is reading what he inspired Isaiah to write some 700 years earlier, and now he's fulfilling the first phase, and his second coming, he would have a greater fulfillment of this same prophecy. So verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Boy, Godspeed that day. Let's break down that word brokenhearted for a moment. The word broken in the Greek means to crush completely or to shatter, whether literally or figuratively. It means to break in pieces or to bruise. And the word hearted is the Greek word cardia, and we're familiar with that, you know, cardiology or cardiac arrest. We can see the word heart in there. And that refers to the thoughts or feelings. In other words, the mind. So if we put these two words together, Jesus is saying he will cure those who are completely crushed in their minds. And we see a lot of that mental and emotional stress around the world. He intends to make them whole. All those who are injured, they're sick, those who have excessive fears or are confused in life. Continuing in verse 18, it says, he says he's going to proclaim liberty to the captives. That word captives means prisoners of war. Isn't that interesting? And the word proclaim means to herald as a public crier, especially of divine truth. So someone crying out to hear a message. It goes on to say, besides proclaiming liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. So not just physically, but think of the majority of the world is blind spiritually. And then it goes on to say, to set at liberty, which means to forgive or pardon, those who are oppressed. Once again, the word crushed. Christ has all this in store in the future. And he proclaimed that he would free those who were held captive. And as we look at mankind today, we see that they've been held hostage by Satan for the past 6,000 years. But our Lord and King will liberate humanity physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually from the clutches of Satan. That is what Paul was referring to, and I'll just refer to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 26. And there he stated that the world needs to, quote, come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So everyone in the world is a prisoner of Satan until God frees us from that and rescues us and opens our eyes to his truth. And the Son of God will come with all power, with great glory and majesty, and not only heal the blind, the lame, the deaf, those that are feeble, but he will also forgive those who have been lied to and have been coerced to follow their own hearts. You know, Satan's way. Do what you want. Do what's right in your own eyes. So our soon coming King will provide every type of healing that is needed. At his first coming, Jesus healed many, but think about it. He did it in a limited way and in a limited area for a limited time. And yet with his second coming, the whole world will witness his power to heal all those who have been shattered by war, by poverty, and hunger. Let's look at verse 20. It says, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. I mean, they could sense something was different here. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The miracles Christ performed at his first coming fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. But when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the duality of Scripture will be evident. And so Isaiah shares how the world will change. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 35 now, and verse 1. As we see some of the ways in which God will heal the world and the things in it. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. Brethren, we serve a God who has the power to bring about his plan. I mean, it is so amazing what he's willing to do. And through Isaiah, God shares a few details of a future time, which is just ahead of us, when the earth will be restored under the rule of Christ. So this chapter mentions several positive changes that will take place. Isaiah 35 and verse 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. The healing God will bring will include items beyond injury, beyond sickness. The promises that will take place during the millennium will encompass more than we can fully imagine. Do we recognize that 17% of the earth's landmass is considered desert? That needs healing. Let me just name four of the land masses that are desert here, four of the largest areas that are totally barren. We can include the Antarctica, which is a frozen desert. You know how big that is? 5.4 million square miles. Desolate. It needs healing. The second largest, the Sahara Desert, located in Africa, is 3.3 million square miles. It's not the way God created it. The Arabian Desert in the Middle East is 900,000 square miles. The Gobi Desert in China and Mongolia, 500,000 square miles. Large areas. And so all those areas are without rain, without grasslands, without trees and rivers. And one day they will flourish because God will heal them. I'll drop down to number 21 in deserts. So I named the first four. Number 21 is the Mojave Desert right here in the United States. The size of it is 48,000 square miles. Isn't that amazing? An area that God will beautify one day. You know, that mileage, or square miles, is equal to the size of Pennsylvania. Just that one desert. And yet God intends to heal or to restore the land so that people can spread out, so there's food for their livestock, you know, rivers that are nearby. It will be absolutely beautiful. Continuing in verse 3 in Isaiah 35, which says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. So much of this will come in the near future. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come. And what will he do? He will save you. Don't we need saving? The whole world does. The word save in the Greek means to deliver, means to help. It means to preserve or to rescue, to be safe. It also means to bring salvation or to get victory. This is what God is going to do. He's going to save us. He intends to rescue the world from sure death and offer us a future that's safe and victorious. We're blessed to know that God is planning to save mankind from his wrong choices. And what a complete mess we've made of the world as we look around in every area. It's sad to see, but our Messiah will stop humanity from destroying itself. That's what he intends to do. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. Think for a moment, someone that is born lame, and after so many decades of life, all of a sudden, if they could walk, I mean, what an interesting thought. I can't imagine what they would feel like. It goes on to say, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Brethren, the majority of us can name family and friends that are deeply suffering. You know, when I think back about my high school graduating class, it was a very small class. It was connected with Worldwide Church of God. About a third of my class has already passed away over the last 30 years. You know, some couple had brain cancer, one had an aneurysm. It goes on and on. So much death, even at younger points in life. And so God plans to not only heal man's infirmities, but as we see here, to restore the deserts, to bring them back to life as well. Let's look at Isaiah 61 and verse 3. What we read earlier in the Gospel of Luke was quoted from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. So this chapter also reminds us of a future time, a time of renewal and healing for the cities. So as we begin to expand on what God's going to heal, it's absolutely wonderful. So we can ask, what else will our Savior do? Verse 3 here in Isaiah 61, he will console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's a lot of that today. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. See, it all points back to God. And that's where everyone needs to come at some point. Verse 4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. You know, as we consider cities today and the disrepair of many of them. I mean, even some are just run down, not taken care of. But think a few years back when Syria was being bombed and how many people fled that area. And as you saw pictures of the buildings just riddled with holes and partly blown apart by bombs, or even some of the pictures from Ukraine. But there's so much of the world with the coming events that are, you know, there's a great earthquake coming and there's more war that will come. And all that that's been prophesied, many areas will be flattened. Verse 6, it says, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Once again, referring to a future time. They shall call you the servants of our God, You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. So as we observe the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a beautiful reminder of the healing that God plans to do. He doesn't want us to lose sight of his power or his plan to heal the brokenhearted or to rebuild the cities in the future. He's looking forward to that, and we need to do the same. Verse 7, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Brethren, as we think about the transformation that's coming, it establishes why we must endure. If we want to be a part of this, we have to fight. We have to run our race. And it's through our daily lives that we show our desire for God's kingdom. So we need to ask ourselves, how are we living? How are we thinking? Are we truly growing and maturing as children of God? Verse 10 goes on to say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. See, this is what our great God intends to do for those who will follow him. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God will do? And we know he has the power to bring it forward. We have no good reason to doubt what our father and elder brother are planning. I mean, they've always followed through on everything they say. You consider how much they've planned everything to the finest detail. They've written it down for us so that we can read it and be reminded of their holy words. And then we're given these festivals so that we don't forget. And what they're really trying to remind us is that our God is truly worthy of worship. It's beautiful what they are doing. And if no other healing took place than what I've mentioned, we would have so much to be thankful for. But let's notice another aspect of God's plan to restore his creation. Let's go to Isaiah 11 and verse 1. We begin to see here the differences of serving under a righteous ruler, and it will be absolutely marvelous what God will do. Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Eternal, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. No, this is a different ruler who can look right into our hearts and minds. Verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Brethren, the present world desperately needs the righteous rulership of our great God. And that's what we're here to be reminded of, to look forward to that, to hope for it and plan for it. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. We don't see that today, do we? So you see a picture here behind me. You know, my cousin many years ago, living up in Minnesota on a farm, the mother deer got killed, and the little fawn was out there, and it had scratches on it. And they took it into their house, and they took care of it. It became like their little pet. And it grew up and would come into the house, or when it was outside, it'd come and put its nose against the window and look in. It was like just having a puppy in the house. Well, eventually, as that deer grew, it would play with the dog, and it would lay down. And it reminded me, when she told me about this, of how millennial it was to see. She said the cat would go over to it and lick its fur, you know, and then cough because it had a hairball. And then years later, this deer was, they named Daisy. She would come back with her fawns, and they would come up to the house. And so this relationship was beautiful. She said at times the rabbit, the dog, the deer, and I forget if there was another one, they would all play with a ball in the yard and kind of kick it around like kids. And she said it was interesting to watch. So those times are coming, and when we read these scriptures about the wolf dwelling with the lamb, this gives me a little glimpse of that. This is what God says is coming. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. We wouldn't want that today, would we? But in the future, that will be totally okay, and we won't worry about it. And verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal as the waters cover the sea. And so as we read these scriptures, it should remind us why we need to seek first the kingdom of God. This is what we're looking forward to. The many numerous changes that are coming, and guess what? All of them will be positive. That's what God intends to do. Turn with me next to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi 4 and verse 2. And parents, as you teach your children, remind them of the wonderful changes that are coming at the return of our Lord and Savior. They need to hear that from you. They need to see you reading it and believing it. Because having access to the scriptures reveals the beautiful picture of what God has in store for all. And our children need to catch that glimpse as well. Malachi 4, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. The word sun here mentions the stars in the heavens, and it's referring to that and the light and the warmth. But you can see how it then relates to Jesus Christ, as it says here, with healing in his wings. So the metaphor here is that the healing powers of the sun point to Christ, who will shine light and be focused on the total healing of all mankind. And we see that in these scriptures and are reminded of it. Turn next to Ezekiel 47 and verse 8. Isn't that a wonderful statement? With healing in his wings. That time is coming. Ezekiel 47, verse 8. Here the prophet Ezekiel has a vision of water flowing from the millennial temple, and as it moves eastward, it increases. It becomes deeper and deeper. And most of you are familiar with reading that. But you know, you think normally the opposite of a body of water moving along, it lessens because some seeps into the ground, some of it evaporates. But here, it keeps expanding. That's what God's Spirit does as well. And so let's notice here in Ezekiel 47, verse 8, we can see this is a miracle from God. He says, then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Once again, as we tie these scriptures together, we see tremendous healing is in store for the whole world. You know, man could pour out all the water possible into a sea, you know, clean water, and we couldn't make it healed or vibrant, but that wouldn't solve the problem, would it? God can do that with his power. Continuing in verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Isn't it nice that God shares this with us so we can picture what he's going to do? This river could also resemble God's Spirit as it is poured out on all people in the kingdom of God. And that will provide a basis for the healing of the minds and hearts of mankind. And you think about all these different aspects God will bring together. Verse 10, it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Eglaim. They will be places for spreading their nets, Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. Verse 12, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their waters flow from the sanctuary. You know, in other words, the healing power of God is flowing out as he begins to heal the world in so many different ways. And so God will need to teach us so much more. You know, as we read this, we can see there's a lot we don't know, but it's exciting what he has shared with us, and we know his plans are glorious. The more we study the Word of God, the more he can write it on our hearts. This is what he's inviting us to do. Let's conclude in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8. Zechariah 14 and verse 8. And this section of Scripture describes when Christ returns to the earth. He comes down to the Mount of Olives, it splits, and the water flows, it says, to the eastern, you know, part of the way, and to the western, referring to the Mediterranean, the Dead Sea. And if any of you have been to the Dead Sea and how salty it is, you can see that nothing will grow there, but notice the change that is coming. Zechariah 14, verse 8. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be called, or it shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. Boy, God speed the day of that. So these times are coming. And then verse 10 mentions that Jerusalem will be raised up and inhabited, tying back to the rebuilding of those cities and the changes that are coming. Verse 11 says, the people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. So this is reemphasizing the healing of what God intends to do with the cities that have been destroyed and the waters like the Dead Sea that are no longer active with fish and all that. Everything is being prepared for the government of God to be established on this earth. And when Christ returns, he will begin to make these changes. Verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations, which came against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Isn't that interesting? This beautiful festival will continue on into the millennium, and people will learn to respect God, learn to fear him, just as we're being taught today, even though there's so few in the world that understands that at this time. If we're planning to serve and teach the nations, then it's vital that we continue to grow in our understanding, that we look to God, that we listen to his words, that we change our lives so that we are ready to serve under the greatest God we could ever imagine. Jesus Christ will return, and he will heal the nations. He will heal the cities. He will heal the animals. He will heal the sick and the injured. He will heal the water and so much more. God has the power to heal everything, and that's what he intends to do, including the mind of man. You know, our minds need to be healed of all the things that happen that we think on, the fleshly desires and the thoughts we have. God intends to heal all of that, and a time of spiritual healing is approaching. So as we go forward each day, let's consider to look forward to the promise of healing in the coming kingdom of God.